The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belvin.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. It is Friday, March 26, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We've made it to the weekend. We're glad to have you here for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, information, music, comedy, and more. By, for, and about the cannabis community. And joining me here in the studio, our engineer, the maestro himself, Ganja John.
Good afternoon, everybody.
They're calling us show-offs, John, for wearing the hoodies today.
Oh, yeah, it's all about the hoodies
Gotta
today.
Gotta represent. World-famous Oregon Normal Cannabis Cafe, we are definitely representing today. It's Casual Friday. We are heading into the weekend, the first weekend of spring. We hope you all join us here for the next 60 minutes. And joining us in our virtual studio in beautiful Astoria, Oregon, home of the Goonies, my good friend and half-half sister, Cannabis Carrie.
Oh, I have got to get one of those hoodies.
You've got to get a hoodie. Hey, everyone, check out usacannabiscafe.com usacannabiscafe.org. They don't have the hoodies online yet, but when they do, that's where they'll be, and we'll let you all know about it. Now, Cannabis Carrie brings us our news from CannabisFantastic.com right after our first break. So what's on tap today, Carrie?
Well, today we're going to go to see two bills, one in the Southwest and a Reefer Madness bill in the Southeast. And also we have our regular Friday updates. We're going to cover some updates from a case in New Jersey, a case in Washington State, and we've got some movement in the Mark Emery case in Canada, so we'll talk about that.
All right, great updates coming up right after the first break, and I'll give you an update right now that I got via Twitter last night. The verdicts are in the Eugene Davidovich case in San Diego. Not guilty on all counts in Eugene Davidovich's case. That is so great news to hear. Bonnie Dumanis, the district attorney down there in San Diego, has been persecuting medical marijuana providers down there. The Davidovich case was a big case, part of her Operation Green RX that they were trying, where they'd get police officers to lie about their identity, fraudulently obtain doctor's recommendations, and then set up buys with these dispensaries in order to try to entrap these dispensary owners. Glad to hear Davidovich is not guilty on all counts. We'll see if we can get him on the show on a future episode. All right, folks, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will be discussing our hemp headlines with Cannabis Carrie. At the 20 after break, we've got our tune from Eric Smokes Butt. This is Rockin' Friday today, so we'll get a Rockin' Friday tune. And everybody's been looking forward to this. On the fourth Fridays of the month, we speak with Danny Danko, the senior cultivation editor from High Times Magazine, for our Cultivator's Corner. And you can ask your live marijuana cultivation questions via our chat room. Cannabis Carrie will pipe them into us here in the studio, and we'll get those questions asked of Danny Danko at the bottom of the hour, 30 after. And then at 45 after the hour, I've got some more Reefer Madness to tell you about. Of course, the Tax Cannabis 2010 initiative qualified for the ballot in California. They will be voting on marijuana legalization, and I've got the Reefer Madness from the first anti-tax cannabis 2010 campaign website to debunk for you right now for the weekend. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Normal Show Live. the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
It's a kite, everybody.
This drug in front of me is what they call marijuana.
If we had a dime for every dime bag bought in America, marijuana would be legal by now. Donate to Normal at NORML.org and support Normal Show Live. I'm going to light. Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
Arizona passed a new tax bill this week, a bill to tax medical marijuana if the voters legalize it this fall, passed with a vote of 17 to 12 after 5 Republicans came on board and supported it. Now Senate Bill 1222 would make medical marijuana subject to the state's 5.6% sales tax, and in addition, interestingly worded, a $20 an ounce luxury tax would be added to the medicine. Arizona has an interesting history with medical marijuana. Voters have already passed medical marijuana initiatives twice in the state, once in 1996, the same year California passed their initiative, and again in 1998. Both times, the wording of the laws failed to protect medical marijuana patients from arrest, and in addition, use the word prescription that would imply a doctor must use a prescription pad for marijuana, something that has legal implications that would open the prescriber to action by the federal government. An initiative that is working its way through the signature phase would close that loophole. It is unknown how much money would be collected since it is unknown how much medical marijuana would cost, but the Department of Public Safety spokesman Bart Graves was quoted this week as saying that the street value of marijuana in Phoenix is $65 to $100 an ounce. The initiative that advocates are hoping they can get on the November ballot would allow patients to purchase up to 2.5 ounces at a time, and they could cultivate their own, but only if they live more than 25 miles away from a nonprofit, state-licensed medical marijuana care center. That's the Arizona term for dispensary. Senator Chuck Gray said that the passage would give those promoting the medical marijuana initiative an opportunity to tell people that if passed, it will increase tax revenue. Senator John Humphenthal, one of the late-coming Republicans, said that if legalized medical marijuana were passed, he hopes the taxes would be a deterrent, saying, quote, "The more you tax something, the less it will be used and the less damage it will do." One thing for medical cannabis patients in Arizona to consider if they are allowed legal medicine, Arizona has a per se drug driving law that would make you susceptible to charges if you test positive for any metabolites in your blood, not your intoxication level. No other states have a tax bill on medical marijuana, although Colorado is considering one.
Well, this opens up all sorts of things, but when you mentioned that gentleman talking about it being a deterrent, we're going to tax something so that it's a deterrent from people using it. Why would you want to deter people from using medicine? If it's a medicine that helps them out, why do you want to put roadblocks in their way to getting that medicine? This is something that always just makes me so frustrated about the medical marijuana idea. And not to say that, you know, marijuana is not medical. Of course it is. We have tons and tons of proof that marijuana is medical. But if it's going to be medical, let's treat it like medicines. And I've always been of the belief that medicine should not be taxed. Any medicine, right? You know, if it's something that helps people, it should not be taxed. The government should not be putting impedance to people getting the medicine that they need. So I've always had a problem with that. So 5.6 sales tax. Now, there are some states that feel this way as well, that don't tax prescription medications while they still have sales tax for other items. So I've always been against taxes on medicine. But furthermore, to say a $20 an ounce luxury tax, what, now taking your medicine is a luxury? You have the luxury of being able to get health care in this country? Oh, wait, yeah, I guess that is kind of the way it is in this country, isn't it? Some other things about this. Kerry mentions the per se DUID laws, and this is not just in Arizona. There are other states. I can't remember all of them off the top of my head. I know Nevada's one, but check out normal.org's website. This is something all cannabis smokers need to know. Per se DUID means if you test positive for a marijuana metabolite, you are an impaired driver. Right? Doesn't matter if you smoked a joint 2 weeks ago at a Phish concert and haven't smoked since. If you fail that P test, you're an impaired driver. So the states that have per se DUID and medical marijuana are essentially saying that you have a choice between your health and your driver's license, right? Because there's no possible way that a medical marijuana patient cannot test positive for a metabolite if they've been using their medicine regularly. And finally, this 25-mile halo in the Arizona Medical Marijuana Initiative, of course, I've mentioned this before. I've always had a problem with that as well. It also goes to this notion of treating marijuana differently than we'd treat other medicines. You know, if someone had the ability to, say, grow an aloe vera plant to use for treating their skin, would you restrict them from growing that aloe vera plant if they lived within 25 miles of a Walgreens? You know, where they could get aloe vera in a bottle with a barcode and a markup. That, to me, this 25-mile halo to me just seems like a subsidy for marijuana growers and marijuana sellers. And the last thing I could possibly believe is that anybody selling marijuana anywhere on the planet has ever been in need of a subsidy. Marijuana pretty much sells itself.
A legislature in Georgia is sponsoring a bill to require random drug testing of those receiving unemployment benefits and other government assistance. House Bill 1389, sponsored by Representative Michael Hardin, would require that the cost of the drug test be paid by the recipient by deducting it from his or her benefits. Of course, failing the drug test could result in a loss of benefits. If Hardin's proposal were to go through, the Georgia Labor Commissioner would conduct annual random drug testing of the employment benefit recipients, and anyone who tested positive for marijuana or other controlled substances would be tested a second time, according to the bill. If you failed the second mandated test, you would lose your benefits, and you would be unable to apply for any additional benefits for 2 years. Also, refusing to submit to the drug testing would also make you ineligible for any benefits. Hardin said this week that the intent of the legislation is to level the playing field since most of the employed are subject to drug testing. He said the cost of the drug test is about $20, and that could be paid in installments to assure the cost isn't a burden to any one individual. What a nice guy. Georgia's unemployment rate currently is at 10.8%, the highest on record for the southern state and among the highest in the United States.
Wow. Okay, so in Georgia, if you happen to lose your job through no fault of your own, you don't deserve privacy rights anymore, do you? I mean, basically that's what we're saying, isn't it? We're basically saying here that failing to have a job means that we must assume you're a criminal, right? Because that's, you know, drug testing, that's, you know, incrimination, right? You're incriminating yourself about creating a crime. And, you know, since you don't have a job, well, obviously you must be a low-life dope-smoking criminal. This is the most insane proposal. Well, no, it's not, but it's a very insane proposal, especially facing 10.8% unemployment. Do you want to continue to have unemployed people, or do you want to get them back to work? Trying to take their benefits away from them for a failed drug test is only going to exacerbate the problem. You're only going to have more people, more homeless people, you know, losing their rent or their mortgage because they can't get their unemployment benefits if they test positive for a joint or something like that. And when you consider that a lot of these people may have lost their job from a drug test in the first place, then it seems kind of redundant to be testing them again when they've already managed to get themselves on the unemployment rolls here. Let's just do the sensible thing, Georgia, and legalize the use of marijuana for all adults so that we can send these stupid drug tests to the dustbin of history.
Okay, here we go in our speed round. The Mexican Navy set fire to a mind-blowing amount of marijuana in its Matamoros facility on Wednesday. Authorities reported incinerating over 35,000 pounds of marijuana this week. The Mexican Navy reported in a statement that the marijuana and several pounds of amphetamines had been seized in several operations in the last few weeks. Well, maybe some of the birds enjoyed it. In the New Jersey case of John Ray Wilson, the multiple sclerosis patient who grew a couple of cannabis plants in his backyard to treat his condition, was sentenced to 5 years last week, even though New Jersey has passed a medical marijuana law since then. Two New Jersey lawmakers have picked up the fight and have asked Governor Chris Christie to pardon the man. In a letter sent to the New Jersey governors, Senators Raymond Lesniak and Nicholas Scutari called the punishment cruel, unusual, and unnecessary.
Well,
and the ongoing case. Go ahead, Russ.
I was just gonna say we just got some breaking news coming in here from the wires. The Mexican Navy has just attacked a seagoing ship carrying containers of Doritos. So that's desperate news coming out there from the burning of the 35,000 pounds of pot. All right, let's go on. Let's get another update here.
Okay, in the ongoing case of Washington State Olympian Councilman Joe Heyer, who has pleaded not guilty to three felony charges for allegedly selling marijuana to an informant, is now facing a recall attempt. Not surprisingly, an Olympia resident, Stephen McKnight, filed a request for recall on Tuesday. In a brief interview outside of the Thurston County Auditor's Office, McKnight said he brought the recall because public officials must obey the law. He did not comment on why he was bringing the recall when Heyer hasn't yet been convicted of any crime. And last but not least, good news for Canadian cannabis activist Mark Emery. His fight against the United States extradition got a boost this week in the House of Commons. Three members of Parliament, Libby Davies of the New Democratic Party, Yuhal Dasanth of the Liberals, and Scott Reed of the Conservatives, all presented a petition signed by more than 12,000 Canadians asking Justice Minister Rob Nicholson not to sign extradition papers. Emery is facing a 5-year sentence in the U.S. for selling marijuana seeds online in 2005. His removal order has been sitting on the Justice Minister's desk since January 8th. Now, interestingly enough, the Canadian courts have ruled that this case in Canada would have imposed Emery with a $200 fine and no jail time. No word from the top on why the order hasn't been signed yet, but we are hoping that this movement means that maybe Mark has a fighting chance to stay in Canada.
Yeah, the Mark Emery case just shows, U.S. arrogance at its highest. You know, supposedly our fighting men and women are in the Middle East, you know, fighting and dying to bring democracy and sovereignty to, you know, these countries out there. And yet we've got a democratic sovereign country to the north of us that shares the longest, you know, border in the world. And we can't let them be sovereign. Right. We've got to, you know, inject all of our slimy DEA tentacles into their business, threaten Mark Emery's wife and threaten Mark Emery's business co-workers to be able to force him to take this extradition deal for 5 years in the United States. And considering, you know, the state of United States prisons with overcrowding, somewhat of a cruel and unusual punishment, especially when considering that the punishment for the same sort of situation in Canada, like Carrie mentioned, is just a fine and slap on the wrist, basically. We all call for the freeing of Mark Emery and the recognition of Canadian sovereignty. It's time for our drug laws to have some serious changes so that we don't have to keep stepping on all these countries around the world. You know, they all signed on to the 1961 UN Single Convention on Drugs, basically forced by our country at a time when we were a dominant superpower, and we still are. I feel that when we change our laws, you know, when California passes in November and we begin to have some sensible laws throughout the country, we'll see that follow through, kind of a domino effect with all these countries around the world as well that have been forced so long to toe the line on U.S. prohibition. All right, that beautiful sound means it's time to take a break and get ready for our daily Topher Tunes. So roll one up, load one up, light one up. We'll be right back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share. This is Normal Show Live.
Cause the day was hard and your work was long. You need a break from all that's wrong. You better look at the clock cause it's 4:19. Time to reach in that pocket for your bag of green. And smoke that weed. Smoke that weed. Smoke that weed.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday, our segment featuring the best rock, metal, punk, and jam band music, brought to you by The Bastard, blogging at jerseyandohio.wordpress.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Hi, Stashers. Eric Smokebud here with another Rockin' Friday Toker Tune for ya. Today, once again, I'm the resurrector of dead bands. This time the band is Queasel, comprised of some of my old friends from Sauk Prairie, Wisconsin, Boo, Truth, Chris, and Ryan. Queasel was a fantastic grunge slash alt rock band back in the late 90s. They rocked the bars and taverns of South Central Wisconsin and recorded two albums, Fame Induced Apathy and Sounds from the Hole. But after a while, for reasons not entirely clear, they had to call it quits just after the turn of the century. So sad. Fortunately for us, I held on to these CDs, and I still listen to Queasel all the time. Today I'm bringing you Trees, a song about our favorite kind of trees, featuring a driving bass line, rhythmic guitars, and lyrics of outcry for legalization. Trees will take you back in time musically to the 90s grunge explosion. If you want more from Queasel, I'm afraid you're out of luck. There's no website, no email address, nothing. Sorry. You can, however, download Trees from the Stash blog. Have a great weekend, Tokers.
Yeah, Queasel there. Great music there from Eric Smokesbutt. Thanks, Eric.
It's 420 somewhere.
All right, time to check our cannabis community calendar, which you can find at norml.org/calendar. This weekend, plenty of stuff going on. The Oregon Normal Cardholders Meeting is taking place and streaming live tomorrow at noon Pacific here from beautiful Potland, Oregon. It's not a typo. It's a way of life. Check out how we do it at the largest normal chapter on the planet with Madeline Martinez, myself, John Lucy will be there. We'll have plenty of speeches, and you'll get to see people giving away free marijuana and marijuana clones. Yes, that's right. Absolutely free to the people that show up to the meeting. It's a beautiful thing. You got to check it out tomorrow, noon Pacific, on live.normal.org. Also, March 27th, Saturday, there's a meetup in Central Ohio for Central Ohio Normal. This will be at the Old Worthington Library in Worthington, Ohio. You can call 614-807-2626 for more information. Kansas City Normal's having their public meeting at the Westport Coffee House in Kansas City, Missouri. You can call 888-KC-NORMAL or visit kcnormal.org for more details. And in Denver, Colorado, at the Colorado State Capitol Building, Colfax and Broadway, Ken Gorman's Marijuana Legalization Memorial Rally will be taking place. Check that out. You can contact milehighnormal.org for more information. And also in Oregon, in Portland, the Oregon Normal General Membership Meeting. This is for non-medical marijuana card holders. It's a block away from the Cannabis Cafe at 800 Northeast Deakum at the Good Neighbor Pizzeria. You can get involved and volunteer for the upcoming Global Cannabis March on Saturday, May 1st. And then coming up next week, all sorts of great events that you can check out on the Cannabis Community Calendar. I just want to specifically highlight the Hash Bash taking place at the University of Michigan Diag at Ann Arbor, Michigan, April 3rd. This is the first Saturday in April, and it's basically the official start off of the summer festival series. The summer festival season always starts with the Hash Bash. Of course, this is famous from John Sinclair and 10 for 2, the John Lennon song, and has been taking place there. It's a very short rally. People just show up, basically do a big smoke out, and then it's cleared off. But then it's followed by the Monroe Street Fair nearby at 1 o'clock. So get there at high noon for the Hash Bash in Ann Arbor, and then head off to the Monroe Street Fair at 1 o'clock and for the rest of the day in Ann Arbor, Michigan. This is next weekend, next Saturday, April 3rd. For more information on all of these events, check out the Cannabis Community Calendar at normal.org/calendar.
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancers, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects of medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reactions, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairment, appetite increase, and in 37 states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana. It's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Mary, quite contrary. How does her garden grow? Don't ask me. I'm just the voiceover guy. Ask High Times Senior Cultivation Editor Danny Danko in our Normal Show Live's Cultivator's Corner.
I want to tell y'all a little bit about a plant I know.
All right, everybody, 32 after the hour, and it's the fourth Friday of the month and the first Friday of spring, and that means it's time to talk to Senior Cultivation Editor Danny Danko. Danny, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Russ, thanks a lot.
Danny,
good to be back.
And thank you so much for hanging out in our chat room for so long. And folks, if you want to follow Danny on Twitter, do so at Danny Danko, and you can get all his updates via Twitter. We're always excited to have you here because people got all the cultivation questions, and we're loading those up in chat. If you're in the chat room and have a cultivation question for Danny Danko, please just ask it right now. Cannabis Carry will cut and paste it to us here in this studio in Potland, and we'll get it out to Danny. But before we get started, Danny, I just wanted to give you a chance to mention anything you might have on your mind before we dig into the lightning round of cultivation questions.
Well, we've got, you know, our May issue of High Times magazine is out. Everybody's digging on that. That's got some pretty great articles in there, a lot of cultivation stuff, a lot of legalization stuff. I mean, it's just things are happening every day. So we're just trying to stay on top of it. We got a second issue of our medical marijuana quarterly that's going to be coming out, too. We've got an event coming up in June 20th in San Francisco, the first ever, really, for us, West Coast Cannabis Cup.
Yeah.
We're really excited about all these developments.
Yeah, the West Coast Cannabis Cup should be a whole lot of fun. And looking for a copy of those new medical marijuana magazines as well. I still haven't gotten a copy yet, but I'll find one and check it out. All right, let's go.
Oh, yeah. Those are really in short supply.
I guess so.
I'll send you out one, right?
Yeah, okay. Please do. All right, we got some questions. Let's start off with one of our regulars, a.k.a. Pookie, has a question. She's growing in a cabinet with fluorescence, but the bud comes out kind of sparse. What can she do?
Well, you know, fluorescence that typically aren't going to give you the denser type of buds that you get from high-intensity discharge lighting. Just because you lose a lot of light, I mean, they have to be right up against the tops of the plants, and a lot of the lower buds are going to end up kind of sparse. So, you know, you can supplement, add more lighting. That's, always a good solution. You can add more fluorescent lighting. You could even bring in, like, a smaller, like a 150 or a 250-watt high-pressure sodium or metal halide light. Bring the fluorescence closer to the plant tops. And the other thing is a lot of fluorescents aren't really made for growing. So if you get the kind that are made for growing, especially the newer, like the compact fluorescents or the big T5 banks, you will end up actually getting denser buds with those.
Okay. Next question comes from Rola J, who wants to know if you know anything about fossil load or big bud, and what would you say is better?
Those are some grow supplements, nutrient supplements that I believe Big Bud is from Advanced Nutrients and Phospholode. Can't quite remember what company that comes from, but they're basically additives that you use during flowering basically to, you know, bulk up the buds. And so I have experience with Big Bud, and I know, you know, a lot of the Advanced Nutrient stuff is formulated specifically for cannabis, so... So that's always highly recommended. But as far as phospholode, I don't know that it does the same thing. Typically, I think you might be thinking of carboload, which is another kind of product of that nature that's a carb additive during like the fourth and fifth week of flowering, really packs on a lot of power in the bud. So,
okay.
As far as picking between one or the other, every garden's different. There's no real one perfect way to grow, so it's all based on personal preference and a lot of experimentation.
Okay, that sounds good.
And that's also in addition to standard nutrients. These are additives that you add. You still need your base nutrients, your NPK. You still need your bloom and your grow and your micros. This is the stuff you add as an additive, so this is not a replacement for base nutrients.
Right, okay.
That's something a lot of growers
Now, next question that we got here is one asking, what is the best way to keep a coco or soil alive with new plants? He's just transplanted from rock wool to a pot, as well as some of the teens that he's transplanted. I guess best way to, you know, keep your plants alive following transplant is the question.
Yeah, well, plants are going to suffer pretty much every time you transplant. So the best way is to really not to agitate the roots at all and to be as gentle as possible throughout the transplantation process. And you want to transplant into soil that's very welcoming. You know, you don't want to have ice cold soil, so you use, you know, room temperature water when you soak it. And you want it to be nice and moist but not completely waterlogged, and you want it to be warm, basically. Anytime you transplant, you're basically, you know, you're putting some shock into the plant. So the less you can shock them, the better.
Okay. Question here.
That would be one thing I'd say.
Okay. A question here from Destruction wants to know, what is your preferred method of cloning? Like, what is your favorite medium, cloning solution, and all of that attendant stuff?
Basically, I like the cheapest, most laziest way, basically. So I just take the trays with the plug holes. I fill that with a real light, airy mix with a lot of perlite and vermiculite and loose kind of peat mix or cocoa mix. And, you know, I use warm water. I get it nice and soaked, like a wet sponge that's pretty moist and warm, you know. And then I just cut... cut at a diagonal below a node, trim that first or second set of leaves off the bottom there, dip the cut end into a cloning solution, and then pop it into the little cup. And, you know, you put a humidity dome over that, and you add some fluorescent lighting. And, you know, if you need a warming tray underneath, that always helps. Really, within a week to 10 days, you should have roots popping out the bottom. If not, there's either a problem with the humidity or the temperature.
Okay. I got an update on the question I tried before here from Basher420, and it was really more a question on what is the best way to keep plants alive for an extended time when you're on vacation, if you have to be away from the plants for a while?
If you have to be away, I mean, I'd always recommend not going away, but if you have to be away, you want to have... stuff, something like self-watering pots, which are good. I know there's like a few different ones on the market. There's Botanical Brothers, and there's a bunch of other ones out there that basically water from below. You fill a reservoir. Now that works with soil mixed plants or hydroponically, especially hydro plants. You can leave them for a while as long as everything's automated and set. Barring any, you know, unforeseen circumstances, you know, you could. If you have a garden that's well automated, you can go away for a week, you know, at a time. You just want the plants, you want to ensure that the plants have water and light, and that anything that you would be there to do, there's a timer or some kind of function that will handle that. You're not going to be there to see if there's pest infestations or anything like that, so you can run into problems, but that's how I would handle going away for a prolonged period.
Okay. The next question comes from Wheelboard and wants to know, if you are late flushing, does it hurt to go 9 weeks on a 7-week strain so that you can get a good flush?
I always recommend going a little over recommended flowering times, just because a lot of times the people selling the seeds are really trying to make you think that the plant... use, you know, flowers in less time, because they think that that's a really good selling point for the seeds, and which it is for some people, but they tend to sort of exaggerate on the lower end. So, you know, I always take an 8-week, I would suggest taking an 8-week plant 9 weeks. And yeah, if you missed out on flushing and you really want to have, you know, the best quality, I would flush, you know, a week, week and a half, and pull it at 8 or 8.5 instead of the 7. A lot of plants will take on some complexity and flavor and potency. Sometimes the potency will suffer if it's really not meant to go that long. So, you know, you're going to get a little more CBD action and a little less THC action. But, you know, that depending on certain people's medicinal needs, that some people, you know, would prefer that. So it's really a matter of personal preference. But if you missed out on flushing, it doesn't hurt to take a plant an extra week, week and a half.
All right. That's good to hear. Question here from Kentucky Cannabis. When starting in bubble ponics, do you want to submerge the mesh pots since the roots are so small and can't reach?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you're using hydroponics, you do want the roots to reach the water. So when they're very young, you do want the pots to be down in the water. Once the roots get long enough that they can pull up water, it's not quite as much of a concern, because they'll pull it up from further down in the top, you know, inch or two doesn't need to be watered, and sometimes can benefit from having the oxygen taken in there. So, yeah, for young plants, I would keep the root pots touching the water. And, you know, the important thing is oxygenation in the water when you're doing bubble ponics. As many bubbles as you can get in there. It's pretty hard to overdo oxygen and water when you're doing, when you're doing hydroponic type of growth.
Right. We're speaking with Danny Danko, High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, taking your live chat questions in the Cultivator's Corner. We've got time for a few more here. This one comes from Profis, who wants to know, I was wondering, with auto-flowering strains like Diesel Rider, should you still need to begin flushing newts 2 weeks before harvest, or is it less because it's such a small plant?
Well, the plant is small, but the idea with flushing is that you're really trying to get all the excess nutrient out of the plant, you know, cells. So, you know, I mean, with something like an autoflowering plant, Diesel Rider and the such, I mean, I think 2 weeks of flushing is probably on the longer end you'd want to go with pretty much any plant. Something like Diesel Rider, I'd say a week, you know, is probably plenty, a week and a half at most. Just because there's probably not, you know, there's obviously not as much of a root system in a plant that automatically begins flowering at a certain height.
Okay.
It's easier to flush. It would take a little bit less time.
A little bit less, but still, you know, within a week and a half or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all plants should be flushed. Even organically grown plants really, you know, deserve to be flushed. The reason you're flushing is to get a better burn, or, you know, even if you're going to vaporize, it's just the flavor is going to be better. Everything, you know, you get that nice white ash that just falls off the end of a joint rather than, you know, weed that burns like coal, which you find in a lot of unflushed or wet bud.
Okay. Here's another question about nutrients, and this one comes from Seaweedy. She just says that a lot of us don't have access to these nutrient packages that we're talking about. So what do you recommend for flowering besides molasses?
Well, you know, everybody has access to a compost pile, pretty much. I mean, even here in New York City, people, you know, tend to have their own little, you know, compost heaps or little tumblers and stuff. So, you know, I recommend throughout growth using compost and compost tea, especially oxygenated compost tea. For people, you know, who can only really get to, like, a Home Depot, you know, lately, even places like that are starting to have, you know, organic alternatives to, like, you know, Miracle-Gro and Scotts and stuff. Those companies are hip now to the fact that, you know, people, you know, don't really want to grow, you know, their, you know, prized bud plants in chemical nutrients. So they're coming around, and, you know, there's always the internet. You know, a lot of people are afraid to order stuff online, but, you know, it's really not that much to fear anymore in this day and age as far as having plant nutrients delivered to your house. I mean, unless it says, you know, Scentsy Bud or something on the package, you're pretty much home free. And especially in a medical state where you're growing legally, it really shouldn't matter what you're using at all.
Okay. One more question for
the best for you.
Oh, as I was going to say, one more question. Time for one more question from the chat room, and then I've got one to round out the segment here, Danny. I love this. This one's from Lenny Joie or Lenny Joy. I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce it, but framed very well. Powdery mildew, mites, and other crap. How do we get rid of them? In all capital letters.
Oh, man, I could go on for hours on that one. But, you know, powdery mildew is... you know, it's a plague. It's hard to get rid of, especially, you know, once you've got it, it's pretty tough. Same with mites. I mean, you got to go to war. You know, and the thing I would recommend for pests or molds or any kind of maladies is, you know, don't stick to one thing. You know, switch up and try different options, because the plants and the molds will adapt, and you kind of have to adapt with them. And so, you know, try one thing 1 week, then the next week try something else. There's a lot of information on the internet about powdery mildew and mites. You know, sift through that with care and with you know, several grains of salt. But you know, just multiple different approaches is always better than sticking to one thing over and over.
Sure, and cleanliness is next to godliness too. Keep your garden area clean.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the key is to avoid those things altogether, and that requires just eternal vigilance and keeping the grow room clean and you know, just all the things you would do to try to avoid, you know, controlling the environment. Basically, okay, is you want to control the environment and not let the environment control you.
We'll get some details on that in the chat room, you know, as far as what, you know, things, some examples of things people might try. But for now, I want to wrap up.
They want things that work. I can see in the chat room, yeah, things that work. All right, well, for powdery mildew, people will do sulfur burners. There's a number of enzymes you can spray. There's a lot of different things out there, yeah, for mites as well.
I mean, yeah, let's cover that. Let's cover that in the text of the chat room. We'll give them some links as well to some of the books and some of the articles that can help them out. But let me round out the segment here with one question about the California initiative. The Tax Cannabis 2010 initiative just made the ballot. And as part of this initiative, they limit personal growing space to a 5x5 canopy. What's your opinion on that as a grower, as someone who's going to grow personally? Is that big enough? Is it too big? What do you think?
Yeah, 5x5, it seems pretty small. You know, if you've got that amount of space outdoors, I mean, you know, it'd be hard to keep one plant in full sun in a 5x5 area. Yeah. So, but, you know, at the same time, you could get, you know, a pound or two off of the plant or more. So, I don't know. I think 5x5 is a pretty small space. That's a pretty small estimate of how much space one patient would need to provide all their own medicine for a year.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot you can do with that amount of space as well. So
yeah,
hopefully people will come up with all kinds of innovative ways to maximize their 25 square foot footprint.
Well, Carrie, Cannabis Carrie in our chat room just came up with a great idea. She says if they're saying 5x5 square feet, couldn't you put a series of platforms and just build it up to the sky? You could have a 5x5 veg on top
right,
of a 5x5 clone room on top of a 5x5. They didn't say cubic feet.
That'd be great. Yeah, it's just a footprint, so you can go as high as possible.
We can have grow rooms to the moon. All right, we love it. Well, Danny Danko joins us here on the fourth Friday of every month for our Cultivator's Corner. Danny, thanks for calling us here from New York City. We always love having you on the show.
Thanks, Russ. It's a pleasure.
When we come back, a little bit of reefer madness. The prohibitionists are fighting mad about Tax Cannabis 2010 making the ballot in California to legalize. We'll deconstruct the madness right after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
Hey everybody, it's your favorite giveaway guy, Gene Blinkendale, here with a fabulous new contest for all you tokers and tokettes out there. We've got four t-shirts from homegrown.com to give away to the first four listeners who send us an email, but wait, it's not that easy. Your email needs to contain three different responses from your state or federal elected officials on the subject of marijuana law reform, all dated after March 1st, 2010. Send in your three responses in an email to stash@normal.org with the subject line Homegrown T-Shirt Contest, and you could be a winner. By writing your elected officials, someday we all could be winners. I'm your giveaway guy, Gene Blinkendale, reminding you that there ain't no such thing as a free lunch.
But a friend with weed is a friend indeed.
Is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
Welcome back, everyone. 52 after the hour, and I just had to get to this. Of course, the Tax Cannabis 2010 initiative made it to the ballot. They got certified in Los Angeles County last night, and so this officially will be voted on in November. This, of course, has brought out the reefer mad prohibitionists that are vowing to fight to the death here about legalizing marijuana, got to protect the children and all. So, and a bonus factoid about this, very interesting. The initiative number on the California ballot will be number 20. Vote for 20. Vote for 20. Very nice, huh? But, and we're going to see a whole bunch of reefer madness about this. You can expect not just in the state of California, but on the national level, drug czar Gil Kerlikowske will be spending our federal tax dollars to fight this state initiative. So much for the 10th Amendment. But, he's legally obligated to spend federal money to fight any sort of marijuana legalization. And with the Supreme Court ruling in this recent Citizens United versus FEC case, where now corporations can spend as much money as they want in political campaigns, wait till we just get the ads from the pharmaceutical companies, the liquor companies, the drug rehabs, the prison guards union. It's going to be an amazing, amazing midterm election here. But the first website to fight against this has made it live. It's now on the web. You can check it out at nipitinthebud2010.org. Get it? Nipitinthebud2010.org. And here's the first thing that you see when you get onto the page. They actually have a picture from 9/11, right? They've got a picture of the skyline of New York at night when they had the two columns of light where the trade centers used to be. And the picture, of course, says, "Never forget 9/11." And this is what the caption says.
"Will legalizing marijuana place our national security at risk? We think so. It has been proven that marijuana use causes memory loss. How will California defend itself in a newly intoxicated condition? Not very well. Marijuana use causes poor judgment and forgetfulness. Marijuana blocks pain receptors, causing emotional and metabolic instability. Can we afford to be this irresponsible and have a casual attitude about marijuana in a world haunted by the lessons we have to learn each day from terror?"
So, right now, legalize marijuana and the terrorists win, right? They're going to open with 9/11. So this is the opposition that we are facing here, right? But their first headline that they've got on here says,
"Killer fungus festers on marijuana plants." In a recent interview with KQED Public Media, radio host Michael Krasny, highly regarded attorney and lobbyist John Lovell brought up a most interesting and, quite frankly, frightening reality, which we have confirmed. While Lovell pointed out the fact that marijuana has cancer-causing agents, he also confirmed marijuana carried Aspergillus, a toxic fungus, with fatal consequences.
"Drugs are bad. You shouldn't do drugs. If you do them, you're bad. Because drugs are bad, okay?"
Yeah, drugs are bad, okay? And I would bring John on this one, because the Aspergillus one, that's the one they're always giving you about the transplant, right?
All the time. You know, I've been told, even at dialysis, I walk in with my Cannabis Cafe shirt, and they see it, and they go, "Oh, you better not do that after transplant. I know somebody who got Aspergillus." I go, "Oh, really? Bullshit. Let's meet him."
Yeah. Show us the bodies. Well, let me give you some facts on this Aspergillus thing, right? Aspergillus is a deadly mold that can, infect cannabis plants. In 2004, this caused 0.88255 deaths per 1 million people. That is 261 deaths in 2004 from Aspergillus. And this is something we're supposed to be more afraid of than accidental suffocation and strangulation in bed. That caused 327 deaths. Acute appendicitis, 371 deaths. And acid reflux disease, which caused 721 deaths in 2004. And that's just the A's, right? So we're supposed to be terrified of Aspergillus. Now, yes, it's something you should be aware of, but it's like you should be aware that eating undercooked eggs, shellfish, and meat can lead to Salmonella or E. coli, which, by the way, killed 5,000 people in 2004. But the way that we protect...
You can't handle the truth!
That's right. You can't handle the truth. The way we protect people from E. coli and Salmonella is not by making them illegal, making steaks illegal or undercooked eggs illegal or whatever. We do it by informing people on menus that what the dangers are and letting people make their own rational choices. If you really are worried about Aspergillus, legalize marijuana. In California, the development of these quasi-legal dispensaries has led to standardization, and a dispensary doesn't want to go out of business by selling Aspergillus-tainted marijuana. So the best way would be to legalize it so that we have some regulations and controls on this. I got plenty to say on this. In fact, I'm making an executive decision. We're going long today. We're going to go long here on this one. Yeah, we're going to go long. There's plenty of reefer madness. I got to get to it all. The lady who is behind this, if you look deep in the website, is a woman named Alexandra Datig. And she does a lot of consulting and some other stuff. But she's got a little video on here, and she's against this. One of her quotes, she says, "We must not allow the marijuana activists to sell us on the idea that intoxicating California with marijuana is somehow going to make our productivity, our schools safer, our communities stronger, and our lives healthier." Well, okay, so you can tell the reefer madness that she's coming from. Her first quote here, here's the reefer madness starting from her. "Our children, adults, senior citizens, and pets would inhale secondhand marijuana smoke, which has been proven to be 5 times more harmful than the smoke from tobacco products."
Okay. I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
Yeah, okay, so 5 times more deadly. All right, since 440,000 Americans die every year from tobacco smoking, that must mean 2.2 million people die from cannabis smoking, right? Because it's 5 times more harmful, right? No, 0 people die from cannabis smoking. What she is referring to is this old cannabis smoke has 5 times the carcinogens of tobacco smoke line, which is true. Cannabis smoke, and in fact, any smoke, has carcinogens in it. However, that's not the same thing as saying that it causes cancer. Follow me on this one here. The notion that cannabis causes some sort of lung cancer or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease or something like that is what led Donald Tashkin, a doctor at the University of California, Los Angeles, to study pot smoking for 30 years. And the whole point of his study was to show the link between cannabis smoking and lung cancer. This is what Dr. Tashkin had to say. Quote, "What we found instead was no association and even a suggestion of some protective effect." And this was the largest case control study ever, right? Tobacco smokers in the study had as much as a 21-fold increase in lung cancer risk. Cigarette smokers, too, developed COPD more often in the study, and researchers found that marijuana did not impair the lung function. Tashkin, supported by other research, concluded that the active ingredient of THC has, quote, "an anti-tumoral effect in which cells die earlier before they age enough to develop mutations that might lead to lung cancer," end quote. And here's the money quote from Tashkin. "Early on, when our research appeared as if there would be a negative impact on lung health, I was opposed to legalization because I thought it would lead to increased use and that would lead to increased health effects. But at this point, I'd be in favor of legalization. I wouldn't encourage anybody to smoke any substances because of the potential for harm, but I don't think it should be stigmatized as an illegal substance. Tobacco smoking causes far more harm. And in terms of an intoxicant, alcohol causes far more harm." End quote from Dr. Donald Tashkin, who studied this for 30 years in the largest case control study ever. Now, let's get back to Alexandra and her reefer madness. She says, quote, "The THC from secondhand marijuana smoke would stay in non-users' systems for at least 10 days. If a drug test were necessary for a job opportunity, innocent victims of secondhand marijuana smoke would lose his or her opportunity because he or she would not pass a drug test." Okay. Well, first of all,
if cannabis is re-legalized, it's not like every room in California is suddenly going to be hotboxed, right? She's like thinking people are just going to be randomly walking into stores and, oh, no, cannabis smoke. No, that's not the way it's going to happen. But, you know, this idea that secondhand marijuana smoke would lead to failing a drug test, you know, that's funny because every time I tried to use that excuse, they just laughed me out of the room. And in fact, Craig Medical, the company that's a leading manufacturer of urine screening kits for cannabis use, on their website says, question, my teenager tests positive for THC but claims exposure to secondhand smoke. Is this possible? Answer, no. Urine concentrations of THC above the cutoff sensitivity level of the test, or a positive result, are not possible by exposure to secondhand smoke. All right, let's get another one here from Alexandra. Alexandra says, quote, the marijuana activists want to fully legalize marijuana now, and they are demanding that we apply the same standards to marijuana that we use with alcohol. The activists are not going near any comparison when it comes to tobacco, because they know we have learned enough about the harms of tobacco to know its health consequences can be fatal over time. Okay. That makes me wonder why she's not arguing to make tobacco illegal. But speaking of tobacco, isn't it interesting that the most highly addictive legal drug out there has plummeted in popularity? Not by arresting people, but by keeping it legal, tightly regulated, and educating people about the harms of tobacco. Now, back to Alexandra, who says, and John, hold on to your hat for this one. I know you're not wearing a hat, but if you had one, hold on to it. The marijuana activists also know that they would not get anywhere with the people if they compared marijuana to tobacco. Therefore, they are shadowboxing with alcohol as their argument of equal legitimacy. However, they do not acknowledge that marijuana has no regulations in place. Alcohol is governed and regulated and controlled. Alcohol must go through vigorous approval processes from the first to the last step of labeling and bottling.
I know nothing. Nothing.
I think I just lost 10 IQ points reading that last paragraph, man. The entire point is that we want cannabis to have the same first to last steps of approval and regulation as alcohol. You can't make the argument that marijuana is unregulated as an argument against regulating it. God, my head just exploded. All right, let's get through this. One more here. The marijuana activists want adults to become pot gardeners and legalize drug dealers. You scared me. Free from responsible processes and realistic oversight. Fertilizers will pollute groundwater resources. Pesticides will make users sick. The smoke from the marijuana will pollute the environment that is already in dire need. No, that's what we have now. Prohibition forces commercial growers into the national forests, terracing the land and spilling diesel and polluting the environment. The Tax Cannabis 2010 initiative allows a 5-foot by 5-foot personal garden, hardly more than you'd expect for someone's tomato, cucumber, and radish garden, and not anything that would need a whole lot of chemical pesticides and fertilizers. And then the commercial growers in the localities that would choose to allow commercial growing would have strict land use, zoning, and agricultural regulations to control the pollution and all the problems with the environment. And I'm also having a trouble picturing how the smoke from marijuana will pollute the environment any more than it is now. I mean, with at least 1 in 10 Californians already using cannabis. All right, here, let's see. Some more stuff from the website. Remember, this is nipitinthebud2010.org, the first website from the prohibitionists to fight against the tax cannabis initiative in California. They have a fact page, frequently asked questions. First question, marijuana has never killed anyone, has it? Answer, marijuana has claimed 279 lives between the years of 1997 and 2005. Okay. Now, they provide a link, but the link goes to a website called procon.org, and it was just like a main table website. There was like no stat there for 279 deaths. After I dug around a bit, I found that it linked and had a question that said, can marijuana use cause death?
And even on the pro side, I couldn't find the stat they were referring to with 279 deaths. But on the con side that said there were zero deaths from marijuana, I found the associate director for clinical research at Kaiser Permanente, a former U.S. Surgeon General, the U.S. Office of Applied Studies Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Administration, and the DEA's own administrative law judge, Francis L. Young, who found, quote, "At present, it is estimated that marijuana's lethal dose is around 1 to 20,000 or 1 to 40,000. In layman terms, this means in order to induce death, a smoker would have to consume 20,000 to 40,000 times as much marijuana as is contained in one marijuana cigarette. The National Institute of Drug Abuse marijuana cigarettes weigh approximately 0.9 grams. A smoker would have to consume nearly 1,500 pounds of marijuana within about 15 minutes to induce a lethal response." That's the DEA's administrative law judge saying that. Now, another bit of unintentional hilarity from the Nip It in the Bud people. Question: is marijuana used by people who want to come down from meth, cocaine, or other stimulants? Answer: yes. Marijuana is the number one cross-addiction drug in the United States for addicts who want to avoid seeing his or her doctor to undergo a physical and obtain prescription drugs. Wait a minute. You're admitting that people can come down from hard drugs by using cannabis, and you're framing that as a bad thing? How weird is it to have human beings with enough intellect to put together some late 90s quality HTML and yet daft enough to prefer that an addict take methadone or some other prescription drug to kick addiction inside of cannabis? This is crazy. But, of course, the craziness, we've got the whole sundae, right? We got the Reefer Madness ice cream. We got the bananas. We got the whipped cream. We got to put the cherry on top of this Reefer Madness. Will smoking affect my physique? Answer: marijuana can cause the man boob syndrome. It will also stimulate your appetite, and if you're a borderline diabetic, can make you into a full diabetic if you are not careful with overstimulated reflexes that have your hands reaching for food. This may result in weight gain, and there are also studies that indicate that men may develop a man boob chest, making a man look like he has a woman's chest. Well, thanks for clearing that up. We couldn't quite figure out what man boobs meant. So there you have it, John. We can't legalize marijuana in California because the good kids will flunk drug tests from the secondhand smoke of our man boob teenage pot addicts as they inhale deeply deadly molds and die of lung cancer.
I just got to remind everybody out there, Nip It in the Bud 2010.org. Best viewed with Netscape.
It's just the design of the site. You know, anybody who's been, you know, watching the web for, you know, these past 10 years would look at this and go, you know, the 90s called. They want their HTML back, man. Oh my God. Well, thanks for sticking with us late here on Normal Show Live, giving you an extra 10 minutes of the show. Next week, when we come back, I did want to mention that we were going to have an interview today with Tim Blake Nelson, the writer, director, and actor behind the new Edward Norton movie, Leaves of Grass. Unfortunately, his schedule got fold up today, so we're going to have an interview with him next week for that movie, Leaves of Grass. I just got the screener copy, though, and both John and I have seen it. Fantastic movie. Wonderful.
Absolutely
movie.
Excellent. I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah, and you know who Tim Blake Nelson was. He was in Incredible Hulk. He was in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Thin Red Line.
Yeah, great movie. It's also got Susan Sarandon and Richard Dreyfuss, Carrie Russell from Felicity. Check it out. It's coming out next week, April 2nd, I believe, Leaves of Grass with Edward Norton. For everyone here at normal.org, I'm Radical Russ, reminding you to have a good weekend and take care of each other, tokers. All right, we got a replay of this show. If you missed any of it, coming up at 3, 5, 7, and 9 p.m. Pacific time, you can download them from stash.normal.org and Daily Toker Tunes all night long. See you next week.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seat, you plant it, you you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you make